Hi, this is Russ again. We're ready for Satanism 101, session number 5. This is the one entitled Psycho-Satanism. This is where we're going to get into some, again, as you study all of this, you're going to see some of the blood and guts of the satanic side. And you're going to have to. Jesus came and he saw this. I mean, what are you going to do if a demonized individual literally falls down in the middle of the church, screaming out, frailing all over, you know, the floor? What are you going to do? What are you going to do when you see a child, even a child that is demonized? Jesus exorcised demons from children. He exorcised demons from a distance when people came to request it. I mean, they were coming to him left and right because they saw what he was doing. So I want to encourage you this week, in the context of studying psycho-Satanism and listening to this one-hour session and looking over the resources, and I've left you resources with, you know, the stuff from Sean Sellers and Dr. Gregory Reed and some of the books and materials. If you want to do even further, I'm giving you just really a basic overview of this subject. I want you to hear me now, though. In the world that you and I live in, there are those that are, I would term, in all of the field of study that I've looked at, psycho-Satanists. That they literally, they're sociopath, that they're psychologically broken in a sense. There is a demonization involved, but there's also crime, violence, destruction. And we're going to go over all of this in this session. And part of what I'm going to do in this session is give you four or five of the cases, some of which we've looked into a little bit. We have cases that we're working on locally here that are, you know, have similarities. But I want to go over this and simply, first of all, say, may the Lord Jesus encourage us and bless us, give us compassion again for the lost and urgency for this day that we live in, and an ability to minister even to those who are beginning to be drug away into such horrible darkness. So if you have your notes on page 13, Satanism 101, session number 5, Psycho-Satanism. Number one, descriptions of psycho-Satanism. Well, by those who became one, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you a description of psycho-Satanism by those that became one of them. And one of those who've gone down in history now is Sean Sellers, who, just again, giving a little bit of background, back in my days in Youth for Christ, one of the leaders within Youth for Christ, went to Sean while he was in prison. And they were allowed to get a videotape, and we were presented with that videotape, and we've read the materials, and there was a lot of controversy around Sean. And there always is going to be when somebody has done horrific crime, and then later they say, oh, I'm saved now. You know, some are going to discount that. The ultimate thing is that even a thief on the cross, a murderer can be forgiven, washed and cleansed. Jesus' grace is greater than a Satanist's sin. And he can forgive. And the grace is bigger and broader than some of the filthiest things you can think of. The blood of Jesus and what he's done on the cross. There is no act of sin that cannot be forgiven in that sense. Now, we're not referring to blasphemy of the Spirit. That's another issue right here. But I'm talking about the sins of psycho-Satanists. Well, Sean Sellers, not only was he growing in kind of, and maybe in the beginning he would have been kind of a self-styled, but literally he was already, because psycho-Satanists already have problems occurring when they're young. And a lot of them have anger and dysfunction and things like that. And somehow they get a hold of satanic material, or they begin to turn to the dark side because they want power. And then that power sees literally an opportunity to use those who are already messed up like this for destruction. So you're going to see me say later how psycho-Satanists use Satan for power, but obviously Satan is using them for powerfully for destructive purposes. Sean Sellers was the one young man that became angry at God. You can read the stories on him on the web, and just read little bits and pieces of material that I've linked on the web page that goes with this session that we're doing right now, and you can read about his life. Because I want to tell you, there's thousands of more Shauns out there that will develop into what he did. As a young fella, he began to then open up, and I believe it was a babysitter that gave him some occult-oriented books. He read even more, and you got to realize something. Since 1969, the Satanic Bible, which has rituals in it, outsold the Christian Bible on college campuses for that year. Excuse me. You've got to realize that as young people get a hold of ritual books nowadays, Aleister Crowley material, and even worse, that those who are already angry and having problems and everything else, you know, they begin to open up to that side to find control, to find power. And Shaun Sellers did. And he developed as a young Satanist, and he did have others that he was connecting to, and maybe some suggest that he had others that were, you know, a coven group that might have been teaching him. But ultimately, Shaun was drinking human blood, that he had a little vial of it, that he had in his closet, in his own bedroom, literally a small little satanic altar. He learned the principles of worshiping Satan. He wanted to break every one of the Ten Commandments in proving his loyalty to Satan, including killing a little kind of stop and shop, you know, place, an employee, and trying to get away from murder. He wanted to break all the Ten Commandments. And he was on his way to doing all of that. The bottom line, the simple thing was that he came home one night, and I think, again, because of who he was, what he was going through, and the demonic presence within him that he was learning, led him. Here's pretty much what he says. Shaun says that when he took the protective pentagram off of his chest, he felt his chest expand. And he went in with a gun, and he shot his stepfather and killed him, and he shot his mother in the head and killed her. He said afterwards he laughed with a satanic glee, cleaned himself up, went to a friend's house, only to pretend to come home later and be shocked and surprised that his stepdad and his mother was dead. Now that has the context of psycho-Satanism. Let me mention secondly Tommy Sullivan. You can read about him on the web too, a young boy. And again, I want to mention that even, we'll talk about it later, but Dungeons and Dragons and dark fantasy games absolutely can open doors to the demonic side. And bring influence. And this young boy went to kill his mother and then kill himself, led by dark powers, voices in the head. We can go to a third individual, Richard Ramirez. And again, I've got links on your notes to these individuals, most of them. And on the webpage, there's book materials if you want to study broader. And I think that one book, which I'll mention later again, is Carl Raschke, the book called Painted Black. Boy, I think it sells for just 50 cents now on the web with $3 or $4 to shipping. But Carl Raschke is still a great book to read to get an overview of the development of kind of the dark side of satanic powers and presence in numerous ways. And he mentions Richard Ramirez in numerous books, and William Kennedy now in his book on cult crime. We'll have a one-hour session later that deals with just cult crime. And we'll talk about that and my days involved with it, well, in the 90s, but also, again, right now, that it's still occurring, by the way. But Richard Ramirez was the individual that went around literally stalking individuals. He's the one that had the pentagram. Even on YouTube, you can see some things concerning him. He had a pentagram on his palm of his hand, and he talked about in the court Lucifer being in all of us. And he was really guided. He was a messed up kid. You can read again about his, again, you're going to find in all of this, there's a dysfunction, lonely background. I'm going to give characteristics here in a moment. But ultimately, he was led to kill for Satan, to kill for his own pleasure, to kill out of his own, you know, psychologically broken and satanically empowered mind and heart. And I mean, he raped and killed and did things that were sadistic. And he was doing it so much so that it was actually people on the street that recognized his face from the composite pictures that chased him down and held him down that he might be caught and stopped. Now, I want to say something to you here, and I'll say more of it when we go over the session of on satanic crime. If you can conceive somebody going through like a psycho-Satanist that won't just kill an individual, but they will carve them up, they will torture them, they will sexually brutalize them, they will cause them terror, they will cause them fear, they will show no mercy. You better believe we want that kind of thing stopped right there before it ever gets started. Very important for us to understand that there are Richard Ramirez's out there this day. I did a major study of the Gainesville murders with Danny Harold Rowling. I've got the manual that he wrote here about his own life. And again, taking college students. Think about, again, my daughter's going to college this year. And these are girls that lived at college and thought they were safe, where this individual did his own kind of stalking, and he broke in, and he slaughtered them. I don't want to go into the details. You can read them if you want to. I've seen the crime. I've seen hundreds of crime scene photos, physical, bloody, slaughtered people. But I just can't conceive that a poor little, 18, 19, 20-year-old college girl would be sliced up, that physical parts of her body would be cut off of her and taken by this man. Now, when I read his own material, he talks about a presence within him called Gemini, and that he'd come to the point where this presence in him would take over and he could not stop himself. So I believe it's a combination, which I'll explain later, a combination of the world's involvement, the fallen world, the sin nature, the sin code, and the satanic operating presence that would lead people to such sadistic murders. As a matter of fact, if you do, and I study criminal profiling and even take materials and courses in that direction, and I think that it's important because many criminologists are really secular in their orientation. We need to look at the spiritual side of what motivates serial killers that kill 10, 20, 30 people. Are they just, quote, psycho, or is there more involved? Don't forget what Jesus said. Satan is a murderer, a murderer. Now, who did he murder? Obviously, he does it through individuals. Cain just literally slaughtered his brother Abel, bloody, and buried him in the ground. Who taught him that? What took over his thinking? Well, the sin nature is involved because God spoke to Cain and said, hey, sin is crouching at the door. It desires to have you, but you must master it. Read about that. Read about that as you look at the fall in Genesis 3 and the developments in Genesis 4. The sin nature is an operating presence in fallen man that can lead us to do the most despicable things, and that opens the door to deeper, broader satanic influence. The sin nature becomes a platform for satanic operation. Let me say it again. The sin nature becomes a platform for satanic operating forces. If you do a reading of Romans chapter 8 about the sin nature, and then read Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, that the ruler of the power of the air is now at work, supernatural operative power, at work in the sons of disobedience. Well, the sons of disobedience are the unsaved people, and people who have the sin nature operating. So it is a combination of the fallen world system giving into the sin nature, as Cain did, and then even having impulses, voices, influence, as did Sean Sellers and Tommy Sullivan and Richard Ramirez, to literally slaughter other humans. I've been involved in cases where one fella cut off the girl's hand and stabbed her, 87 times. Other cases that we've been involved in, there are times we hear about people in criminology killing and slaughtering somebody in a very sadistic way, and then saying later they don't remember it. And so there is kind of a push of satanic presence, power, influence when it's all done and over with, a withdrawing of that influence to where at one point they feel like they've been overtaken and lost it and don't remember. It's as though Satan piggybacked them, and they were like the glove in which Satan reached his hand into, or the demons reached their hand into and did the evil. Well, think about Jeffrey Dahmer now, too, because he lived 45 minutes from my house. It's where he grew up. I've been to his house area since all that occurred. And the author of the book, Satan Hunter, met with the parents of the first Hicks boy that was cut up and killed and buried there on his property in Bath Township. Tom Wedge was involved with a lot of the material. Tom Wedge at a DefTech SWAT team area training place where I was with them brought to us big manuals of the court cases and materials and allowed us to, a few of us, to look into it. Now listen, everything you basically saw on television or heard about Jeffrey Dahmer, you think in terms he's just psycho, dysfunctional, whatever else, that he killed all those people and did sexual weird things. That's about what you've seen on television. But I got to see pictures of inside his house. I got to see crime scene pictures where he made satanic altars out of human thigh bones, where he formed what's called a power cone or part of the altar out of human skulls. You've got to understand that the kind of perverted sexual, physical, blood mutilating work that he did on people, trying to turn some of them into zombies, melting them in acid to hide the crimes, eating their flesh. I mean, this is like the Mayans, you know, the idea again of the overwhelming bloodshed, human sacrifice, or like cannibalism in the world. And then this kind of, cannibalism, murder, sexual perversion, decadence, and the way he would go out to get his victims. It's horrific. It really is. That one individual like that can slaughter so many. Could slaughter so many. You can go out and actually you can get the, you can even get the video. Documentary videos that are basically documentary videos on people like Richard Ramirez, the Gainesville type murderers, Jeffrey Dahmer, Son of Sam, and also the Zodiac Killer, that involve, again, a combination of the decadence of the sin nature, the darkest side of the sin nature, joined with satanic operating presence in the mutilation and destruction of innocent human life. Well, hey, you wanted to get involved in this course, and I pray that you'll be brave enough to think on some of these things, because you're going to hear at the end, how do we respond to all of this, okay? Now, when I was, and we'll talk about this in the crime session later on, when I was at police academies and other places, and also got to be with Tom Wedge at his home and other times to see so many pictures, there's times that I had to ask myself, why? But there's other times that it motivated me to do something about it. It didn't just repulse me. It showed me the decadence, the absolute cold, where there is zero mercy, where there is literally a reveling in human misery, human pain. The one police-oriented video that I saw showed the head of a 17-year-old girl where all the skin from her total head was taken off. All that was there was a big pink head with eyeballs. Everything else was... you wouldn't want to see it. You just wouldn't want to see it. And this comes from And again, psychosatanism usually is an individual, but it can come from a couple of individuals, people doing things together. Well, let me go to point two on page 13, characteristics of psychosatanism. And hey, may the Lord Jesus give you courage and strength, but may he make you bold to stand up against it and desirous to make sure that it doesn't happen to another child. I mean, you do know that children have been found all over. It's bad enough when we think in terms of pedophilia, when we think of the little girl in Florida that was taken from her home, sexually abused and put down in the dirt hole and buried alive. Now, what's up with that? I would not be surprised because, again, law enforcement, they're trained. I've been there. They're trained to deal with the crime and not. They're purposely trained to not bring the satanic side of many murders to the forefront. Absolutely, they're trained that way. And officers will tell you the truth. I've been at the police academy. I've been in the trainings. I've been permitted to do some of the training in which I would, you know, push the opposite. Let the people know what characteristics and things to look for. Well, when it comes to psychosatanism, how does a little boy of 3 or 4 named Sean Sellers, Tommy Sullivan, or Sullivan, Richard Ramirez, Danny Rowling, Jeffrey Dahmer, how do these boys, and it's not that there's not girls, there's a little book out there called Angel, I think, where some girls did, in a satanic sense, slaughter another girl. But anyway, enough of that. How do these little boys turn in to this? Well, sin is crouching at the door. It desires them. A fallen world is all about pain and hurt, broken homes, broken families, broken hearts. So I'm going to go over some of the things that are characteristic of psycho-Satanists that are out there. Well, one, they're angry. There's some level of anger in there, whether from abuse, not getting what they want, being hurt, being left, whatever. Anger's there, and obviously Ephesians 4, verse 26 down tells us that undealt with anger can become a doorway for Satan to operate in. B, they're loners. Look at Richard. Look at Jeffrey Dahmer. Really, they're loners when it comes to, you know, hanging around others, and they're not social individuals. C, they are devious. When you read the story about Danny Rawlings and how he eventually got into places, or Richard as the Night Stalker got into places, when you think in terms of Jeffrey Dahmer going down to local, you know, gay bars and other places to make a person believe that he's taking them out for sex or for just parties or offer them drugs or whatever, but all the while he knows what he's going to do to them. There's an enormous deviant level in serial killers. They have the ability to look at you with the sweetest, nicest face, yet have plans to cut your throat, drink your blood, and discard your body. D, they may have been abused themselves, and undealt with heavy-duty abuse leaves within the psyche, within the constitution of a young man or young woman, it leaves painful things. And some people don't bury it. Some people get angry and begin to act out, and they begin to, under E, they are destructive. They begin to notice some things when they're younger. They begin to kill animals. They begin to show their that psychopathic side in the destruction of animals. I mean, really torturing them too, and doing damage like that, and being antisocial. They're very destructive, setting fires, very destructive. Under F on the next page, page 14, they are stalkers. They stalk victims. That's that picture of Satan in Peter, 1 Peter 5, where he is seeking whom he may devour. So it's almost as though the sin nature has come to a full expression. The sin nature has taken them to the darkest of levels, to where literally the sin nature with the presence, you know, Satan can just step right in. Demons can just step right in and at any moment take them over the edge And once they do it one time, it literally, in some of their testimony, it gets easier for them to do it again and again and again. But they're stalkers. They're looking for their prey, looking for their victims. Like, again, like predatory pedophiles. They're looking. And that's an epitome of the sin nature and the methodology, the direct methodology of Satan himself. Under G on that page, they are sexually violent. And when you think in terms of Jeffrey Dahmer, sexually violent. Sean Sellers, to break every sexual code against God. When you think of Richard Ramirez, totally raping individuals. Danny Rowling, raping individuals and sexually harming them in violent, 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 violent ways. And this, again, 1 hour session only gives you a basic nutshell overview of a very, very deep, deep well of evil interacting with very, very depraved humans that have given in. That's right. We as humans can give in. So we can give in to this darkness. Now, a lot of satanic, ritually abused people up front, they would not harm anybody, but they definitely have personalities inside that are just like this, that know how to do rituals, kill, hunt for victims, all these kind of things. They're highly trained in and demonized in. Some of the serial killers, and I would say two of the cases that we're working on right now, deal with a person that has multiple personality disorder, where the sub-personalities that were involved with demonic presence, they're the ones that come forward to do the rituals, the violent, sexual, physical, mutilating, killing, slaughtering, torturing of human beings. One case we're dealing with deals with a 14-year-old girl and a 17-year-old girl. And again, by the mercy and grace of God, I was led to eventually find the parents of both of these girls. And with the mother to sit down and let her know that we prayed for years to find her and prayed for her. And then drive to another state to find the father of that 14-year-old girl. And sit on his porch and explain to him and talk to him and pray with him. See, this is where our side of the mercy, the compassion, even involved in crime, maybe some of those who are in this course down the road will be law enforcement or those that are involved in places of ministry or social work. Ultimately, the idea for the real believer is to share the love, mercy, and grace of Jesus with everybody around you. And if you're dealing, you know, with dark and gory and human decadence like this, with bizarre murder and bizarre and horrific human crime like this, well, the relief is only, I mean, the relief that Jesus Christ could give, that Jesus Christ could bring us back to, and the power of God to show mercy to family members, to help people, and then again to do something about it. Tonight, I watched earlier, before finishing this last one up, as I do usually on Saturday nights, I watch John Walsh and America's Most Wanted. And again, the passion of his life. Look how much he has done for the absolute good that was motivated by the absolute evil that was done against his son. Now, I'm going to tell you something. You don't have to have something horrifically evil to occur to you or your family to rise up and be a man of God, a woman of God, and be the kind of warrior witness. And again, who is going to witness in the prisons? Who is going to witness to some of these younger, developing psychos? I mean, they're not there yet. At one point, Sean Sellers wasn't there. At one point, Richard Ramirez was not there. At one point, Tommy Sullivan wasn't there. But they developed into these doorways of horrific crime and brutality and satanic slaughter. Let me say again, psycho-Satanists are very sexually violent under G, under H on that page 14. They show no mercy. They have no mercy. I've seen some of the sub-personalities and some of the underground Satanists. These that are demonized and trained in human sacrifice and so forth, they have no mercy. They're cold as ice. Under I, they lose control. I mean, in other words, it's almost like there's a bloodlust, a lust to kill, a lust to slaughter, a lust to carve up. And once they kind of reach a peak, I mean, you can read the psychological stories, but they're similar. Many of these under psycho-Satanism are very, very similar. And they do definitely come to a point where they cross the line, lose control, and they can't turn back. They can't stop. Unless somebody stops them. Under J, they begin to show signs. Let me say this. They begin to show signs early. Anger is a key issue. They're angry about something. Things are not fair in their life, not fair in their family that broke up, not fair in how they're treated or abused, or whatever. They're anger. They're feeling powerless. They can't do anything about it. And that's where a lot of the anger comes in. And a search for some kind of power to gain control. They begin to show early signs when they're hurting and killing animals. And maybe a younger brother or sister. When they begin to show that they're becoming bullies or, you know, really, you know, and showing this kind of hurting and killing and torturing of animals, you know that you're having the signs, the possibilities that if this continues for a child to open up to the very, very dark, dark side and for the demonic presence to guide their evil and bitter heart into some of the worst. Well, they become a psycho-Satanist. Point 3 of page 14. They seek to use Satan's power. Now listen, because they feel powerless, angry, and so forth, when they begin to read about Satan's power, because they're angry, and, you know, again, it's not that they become professional Satan worshipers. They're not like the Luciferians or the ancient brotherhood out there. They're not like traditional Satanists and so forth. These are the folks that they're wanting the satanic power for power in their life, for helping them gain control. Part of Sean Sellers' own testimony is that when he prayed for a certain girl to be his girlfriend and God didn't do it, he got angry with God. That was part of his rejection of God. Now, he didn't know enough about God. It was a spiritual battle in his life. He should have realized you don't just use God to get what you want like that. Why blame God because some other human being, some other, you know, person didn't come to fall in love with you? It's not, you know, and so some people will seek Satan's power, and I've met individuals that have confessed in my office that they've called upon demonic power, that they use the power of astral projection and demonic power to leave their body to go to the opposite sex, to draw them, to use the powers to get what they want. It's a lot of selfishness here. But again, there's a backdrop to this. Undealt with anger. It turns into a river of bitterness inside that literally bends the mind. Now, when you take a look at Romans chapter 1, when it talks about how they exchange the glory of God for a lie, they suppress the truth by their wickedness, and that in doing so, their thinking becomes futile and their understanding is darkened. The deeper down the road a human being goes with the sin nature, giving into the sin nature, the multiplicity of sins, the broader the platform for their mind and emotions being not only really dysfunctional, messed up, darkened, but they become a broader platform for Satan to use. Now, in many of the psycho-Satanism cases you read about, you're going to read that my interpretation of them is that they were seeking powers. They wanted to feel the powers. And I've had to deal with some and visit in jails and deal with who've committed crimes and listen to confessions, let alone read these stories. They seek to use Satan's power, but what they don't realize is that Satan has found a home in them. Satan's using them for his glories. It's a glory to Satan to desecrate human life. Demons love it. They revel in it. That's why there's rituals in June and August. One's called Satanic Revels and the other's called Demon Revels. It involves human sacrifice. It involves sexual rituals with young girls. It involves blood. So please understand again, the satanic powers are real, but these are some of the things they revel in and how they'll use a human life. Ultimately, under the power of psycho-Satanism, we have the three biblical formats. The world, 1 John talks about, cosmos, fallen world system, ultimately driven by satanic presence. So 1 John chapter 5 says, "For we know the whole world is under the control of the evil one." Now, the world there is from the Greek word in the biblical context, meaning the fallen world system that is in rebellion to God and that is open to the dark side. That's the system he's in control of. And that's where he's moving his agenda forward. It's that world where there's abuse and pain and hurt and neglect and sexual abuse and physical abuse and mental, emotional damage that goes on. Unhealed and undealt with, individuals that have been through the pain can then turn into seething, they desire revenge. They desire to take out all their anger, all their pain, all their stuff on someone else. And they also want to find something to help them in their powerlessness. And so they seek the satanic powers. We dealt with a young man that could have become a psycho-Satanist years ago. We got a call from a lady to come to Cleveland. We went to Cleveland, and a young man that sat in my car and went over and over again as a Satanist. He's going to be the next Black Pope. That he's learning again. He was just finding his own material. He had anger issues going on, powerlessness going on. He had, but he was also grasping for power, and he was boasting about how he took over other covens, that he can use the satanic powers to get him girls and money and power and everything else. And I finally had to say to this individual, his real name is not Danny, but I'll say his Danny. I said, if you have all these powers and all these things you get, why did you call us? Why do you want us up? He wanted us to come, and the girl called, and we came up there. We drove 60 miles to find this young man. And there we were, three or four of us, to deal with him and that girl that was trying to help. He was willing to go to a church, but when we got to the building, he wouldn't go in, this girl's church. So we sat out on the grass, and we listened to all of his, kind of his own psycho-satanic development. Finally, as we continued to preach the Word of God, show the love of God to him, show the love of Christ to him, we finally said, I looked at him and said, "Danny, are you ready to receive Christ? Are you ready to turn your life over and let the power of God come into your life and the love of Christ come into your life?" And he shook his head, yes. And I said, "Well, pray out loud with me." I said, "Pray out like this, Lord Jesus Christ." And the moment he said, "Lord," he couldn't even say Jesus. The demon seized him, threw him to the ground in front of everybody there. He couldn't talk. He was gurgling with he was trying to speak. He had his hands around his neck, trying like he's pulling something off. The demons inside seized him and threw him to the ground. They weren't going to let him call out. They weren't going to let him pray. So we immediately, I said, "Everybody pray against this." We began to rebuke the demonic power and presence. As we were doing that, I said, "Lanny, yell out, Lord Jesus, come save me, deliver me. And be my Savior and Lord." And as we rebuked the demonic presence and rebuked the we literally, it was like, again, a breaking. The demonic presence went off of him. At the same moment, he opened his mouth and breathed and said, "Lord Jesus Christ, come into my life." And it was like an incredible exchange occurred. The clash of kingdoms over one human soul right at that moment. Darkness left under the authority, presence, and power of Jesus. Christ came into his life. We prayed for him even afterwards. We had him renounce everything he was involved in, repent of everything, you know, and we prayed for him to be filled with the Spirit of God. We rebuked anything else that would come, and you know, we ministered to him, and then we took him out. We took him out to buy him dinner. You know, we wanted to celebrate this new salvation. All of heaven was rejoicing. All the angels were rejoicing. You know, to hell with the demons. Let them go cry. I don't care. But the angels were rejoicing, and God, the heavens were rejoicing. And when we sat down in a restaurant, all of us were packed in these booths, and we're looking over at this young man. One of the fellows that was with on our team looked over and says, he just started laughing out loud and says, look at him. He says, this is the first time since we've met him, you know, hours ago, 5 hours ago. Now his face, he's got this brilliant smile, this great joy in his life. He looks liberated. He's talking free. He can feel the love, the joy, the peace, the presence of God. He can feel, he feels the difference between the damnable powers of darkness and the power of the living Christ. It was a sight to see. Dear Christian, are you ready to be a warrior witness? Are you ready to be used by God? Somebody call you up, drive 60 miles, use up all your gas, and get to them. That young man, if left unattended, and again, I sadly say many other spiritually Christians couldn't, you know, just didn't deal with him, didn't know what to do with him. That young man was a candidate to become a pure psycho-Satanist. So when I talk about how in psycho-Satanism, it's the world that brings damage, it's the flesh, like in Cain, that desires to have them. And then Satan operates and literally uses and abuses a human being to the point that they slaughter others in the name of Satan. In the name of Satan. In the context of the worship of Satan. In the context of wanting satanic powers. Not all people that kill are like that. Cain didn't do it for Satan. He didn't even know what was overcoming him. He just gave into it, and then he did the act. Well, the last thing I say on this, and this is what I want to encourage you with, is the other side of all of this. How do you stop? How do you reach psycho-Satanists? You know, it is true, like when they're in their 30s and 40s and they've done all this stuff, you know, the deal with them then, it is. I'm going to tell you right now, I was drawn into cases by defense attorneys and others. A young man, they wanted me to come in and give testimony, and the major defense attorney in this city, right where I live, you know, invited me to, and he brought me to his office. I never met him before. He just heard about us. And he looked at me when I came to his office and he said, Pastor Dizdar, do you believe there is real Satan and real evil? I looked at him and I said, I have no question of the real presence, the real power of Satan in the world. And this attorney looked back at me and said, you know what? I have no question now either of satanic reality and powers. This case has Satan all over it. Can you imagine that in a highly high-powered, highly paid attorney's office? And as we began to work together over the stuff and take a look at some of the pictures, the girl that had been slaughtered, stabbed, I don't know, 87, I don't know how many times, I forget, it was 187 or 8, so many times, but it was done just jab, 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 to spill blood, to shed blood, and to be sexually brutalized while that was going on. The third power in the satanic scheme then was to eventually kill. They needed to raise the energy. We'll talk about this in rituals later on and why rituals are done that are prolonged to bring human pain, human sexual perversion, and then eventually death, because it all involves the raising of powers, the appeasing of the powers, and to get as much demonic power to cross over as possible. And I remember going to the jail place numerous times to meet with this guy. And if you met with this guy, you would say, man, this is like a kid. He's just like a little kid. I met with his mother. I met with his sister and family members at their house to listen to their side of the story. I listened to him. But I have no question that though he was put away for the crime, there's far more to it. See, they didn't want to bring me in to testify. They didn't want to bring any of the satanic side of stuff into it. But it was done just a day or two before, in September, the Hands of Glory ritual, where after the satanic ritual of murder and sexual, you know, and blood and all the stuff that was done, at the very end, after, you know, committing the death, you know, killing the individual, they cut off the hands because they're going to take the hands. They're going to mix them with certain herbs and other stuff, pack them and bury them to kind of petrify them, and then to bring them out to use them on their own satanic altar and to draw the powers of invisibility, to be invisible, and to give them stealth so they can operate in their sexual, destructive, bloodlusting, human desecrating ways. That's what a psycho-Satanist is all about. They know the powers are there. They're not professional worshipers. They probably don't do Latin, you know, well. They are, again, as you read this, loners, angry, bitter, you know, all these things. But the end of it is that others are slaughtered in the process. How do you stop it? How do you reach them? And let me say this very clearly right now. Reach them early when you see the signs. This is why I want to say, because I was in the ministry of Youth for Christ for 15 years. We reached junior hires and high school students, thousands of students. And even in our inner city clubs, we would let kids that were fourth graders and fifth graders come. Because nobody else, as a matter of fact, many of those kids, when we would spend 2-3 hours on an evening with them, that was more time than the entire week that their parents would spend with them. And you got to realize the kind of homes they were coming from, that we had to buy them clothes at times and buy them food at times, let alone preach the gospel and love them and show them the difference. Because those are the kind of kids that you got to realize that Satan is out there. He's going to suck them up. He's going to take them in. He's going to reach them. If you and I don't want to reach them, I guarantee you, Satan wants to reach them. Satanic recruiters on a traditional and underground level will want to recruit them. Squeaky Fromm, who's pulled the trigger that shot President Ford, and some of those that had been recruited by Charles Manson into slaughtering other human beings, being convinced that it was okay and a right thing to do. One of them said that they were asked, why? Why did you go with them? Why did you give in? Why did you do that? And you know what they said? That a hungry, wounded dog will go with anyone who will feed it and take care of it. And when Charles Manson is out there on the streets, out there in the neighborhood, hurting, confused, dysfunctional, left, lonely young people can be sucked into gangs, groups. I dealt with a young boy years ago named Billy who was being just literally dragged into a satanic coven that involved cutting his hand, putting blood in a book, and then when he wanted to get out, threatening his life and threatening his family until we got involved, until we went after the group. That's right. Reach them when it's early. Get involved in church ministries like Robert Rakes in England at Sooty Alley, who reached out to all the orphan kids. Who's going to reach all them young? You know what? It takes so much time. It takes so much time. It takes so much effort. Hallelujah. Thank God for the great Sunday school teachers. Thank God for all those young, those teachers that have loved young people and welcomed them in and loved them every week. Sometimes it's the only place. When we had Wednesday night church for kids and Sundays and so forth, and sent people out to pick up kids. These kids, we sometimes that was their meal for the evening, let alone somebody loved them and cared about them and shared with them Jesus Christ, showed them an entire different world than what they saw in their broken homes, their alcoholic, drug-infested homes. My God, where are all the servants of Christ? Reach them. When Tommy Sullivan's 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10, when Sean Sellers was just a young boy, Richard was once a little kid, reach them. Because when they're hurt, hungry, angry, mad, confused, when they want to just rip things to pieces, and they want to call out when they hear about the dark side, and they want powers, and they begin to do evil deeds, they can truly become a psycho-Satanist. And somewhere down the road, a psycho-Satanist will literally slaughter others. Reach them early, especially when you see the signs of anger, loneliness, destructive things they begin to do, hurting animals. On page 14, under point 4, how to stop or reach out to them, reach them in the early. Under B, confront them young, intervention, even when you begin to see that they're reading satanic Bibles, even when you begin to see, you got to go after them, man. You cannot let them go. You got to lay down your life. You got to go after them. You know what it's all? Listen, I'm going to give you right now for you to read that God may interact with your spirit, your life, your calling. I want you to read Isaiah 58. I just want you to read Isaiah 58, what true fasting is. What God says to his people about spending themselves on behalf of victims. About spending your life, efforts, time, energy. Spending yourself to break every yoke, every bondage. Break every one of them. To work so hard to get them free. God promises that the glory of the Lord will be seen. Healing will arise in our own lives. And the glory of the Lord be our rear guard. Look what it says there in Psalm or in Isaiah 58 about God turning you into a repairer of broken walls. Let God's, listen, I'm engaging you because this is what A Course to Me is all about. It's not about just reading books. You can go out and read a book, but you're involved in a course. And it involves the interaction of me and what I do on my end. And you and what you do on your end. But we're not alone, my friend. The living personal God is working on both ends, mine and yours. I know that. And I know that he's going to confront you to the point of tears. He's going to confront you in your emotions. Please allow him to burden you. Please allow him to move you to put your head in your hands and to weep when you see the destruction of young people and how they've been turned into monsters. Sin is real. Satanic powers are real. And all, you know, we reap what we sow. We reap what we, you know, society is reaping what we sow. You know how it is in Europe? In England, you've got this happening all over the place. United States, you know how it's going on. Even in Australia and Canada, y'all know it. So here's the part of this session, this training, this college course that you're in. Will you confront them when they're young? Will you show Jesus to your own kids? How about down the hallway in the apartment complex, in the condo complex, in the neighborhood? How about setting up a, you know what we did years ago? We'd do a Bible. We'd find somebody an entire allotment, and we would say, can we do a Bible school? And we'd take three or four people trained, basic training, to go in, give out flyers. We'd have 30 kids that would show up. We had flip, you know, just buy some Sunday school, you know, good Sunday school material, Bible story, and give them crafts and love them. These are kids. What are they going to do? They're going to play games on television all their lives? Some were the servants of God have to spend themselves on behalf of young people. You can get involved with youth ministries, student venture, young life, youth for Christ. You know what? You just get up and start doing something yourself. That's what you can do. Because you weren't called into taking this course just to have information and to hide behind a door and be safe for yourself. This wasn't a safety 101 course. This is a Satanism 101 course. And I already knew ahead of time, because we've taught these courses for so long now, that God's going to confront students. That either students will run away and quit taking the course because they don't want to get involved in the call and the commission. Remember Isaiah seeing the glory of the Lord in Isaiah 6? What did God say? Who will go for me? Who can I send? Satan would like to turn so many young people into psycho-Satanists. He really would. And bring destruction to society and lives and families. A trail of tears and blood. And he's damned for it. You better believe that, the great white throne judgment. But what will you and I as Christians, we don't hide our light under a barrel, you know? Will we go to the highways and byways? Will you get down and get so prayed up, so powered up, so Word of God filled that you can't do anything but get out there? Now you know some of the signs of the early stages that can turn people into this. Some of those that might be in law enforcement. You know what? You got to deal with, and thank God, God ordains law enforcement to bear the sword. You have to do what you got to do. Called by God to help stop this kind of unprecedented evil. It has to be stopped. How many times have we called in law enforcement, you know, when there's cases of abuse and sexual abuse and rituals and blood and all these different things? We're praying about predators that are out there. One psycho Satanist that we know slaughtered those two girls. We got folks that are praying for him to be stopped, whatever it takes. Without intervention, all that's left is the blood and guts and hell. But because God so loved the world, Jesus, you know, he came into the world and he lived. His blood, you know, dripped on the dust of that eastern ground. And it wasn't shed for him. It was shed for you. And this great salvation, don't neglect it. Believe Jesus daily. Walk with him. Live in his power. Rejoice in him. Know that he's one. Listen, let's all repent of every sin. Yield to Jesus. But we've got to get out in mission. We've got to have spiritually compassionate hearts, discerning eyes. We got to be prepared to show the love of Jesus, but also to wield the power of spiritual authority against the demonic presence. Intervention has to occur at some points. Like it says in the book of Jude, have you ever read that book? The very end of it, where the Holy Spirit says to snatch some from the fire. Maybe there's some kids around you. All you got to do is ask God, you know, number one, be a witness on a daily basis, but then simply say, God, I want to be used. Here am I. Send me. So let God bring to your mind people you know. Don't just shake your head at society and walk away. You take the banner and you take Jesus right in there to them. You hug them. You love them. You pray for them. You lay your hands on them to bless them. Jesus blessed the little children. He said, let the little ones come unto me. All those selfish, crazy adults at that time, those immature disciples, they thought the kids were a distraction. Jesus sat down and said, you know, suffer them, bring them to me. Bring them all to me. Do you hear that call? What will you do with this? Are you just going to sit in your car, your MP3 player, and listen? I don't think so. Like I said, this course is alive because Jesus is on your end right now, and he's going to speak to your blessed, saved heart. This is your friend, your brother in Christ, Russ Dizdar, shatterthedarkness.net on the web. I will see you in session 6.